Today, students at Northern Illinois University returned to class just a week and a half after a gunman opened fire on a classroom, killing five people, then turning the gun on himself. The past few days have left students, faculty, and community members stunned by what took place, including Robert Schneider, a professor who was teaching in the building next door when the gunfire erupted. In an op-ed, he wrote about the fear and the sense of powerlessness over events. If you're a teacher and you want to talk with Professor Schneider about that experience, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. But first, we want to bring in Susan Stevens. She's the news director at member station WNIJ in DeKalb, Illinois, where today they're doing special coverage of students' return to school. She joins us from their studios, and good to talk to you.
Good afternoon.
And what's happening on campus today?
Well, students are back. It's just kind of exciting for everyone to see students actually walking around on campus and getting to class. And right now, I think people are more concerned about getting out of the freezing rain that's coming down and the 9 inches of snow expected tonight. But that's kind of the feeling that we're getting from the students, is it's just good to be back. I just want to start class. They've got counselors in every single class all day today and tomorrow. And from one class that I heard about they had a counselor talk just about 10 minutes at the beginning, just advising them, you know, take care of yourself, talk to people, and advice like that, and then they got into the classwork.
And got back to classwork. Did people feel that there was an appropriate period of suspension between the events?
I think so. In fact, that's something I was talking with President John Peters about earlier today, where the time off really did help, and I've talked with other professors, too, about they took a week. Professors and faculty staffers came back last week to start preparing for the students to come back, and that was really, really helpful for them to get counseling themselves and to find out how to treat a class, how to deal with students, how to help them cope.
I know there was a memorial service on campus last night. Is there any evidence still of visible? What's happening at Cole Hall, for example, which is the site of the shootings?
Cole Hall's closed up, and I do believe the crime tape came down today, but there are memorials outside of it, and people are, you know, just walking past slowly and quietly. It's centrally located on campus. You almost can't get anywhere without seeing it, at least, and the memorials just keep growing, and pretty soon they're going to be under snow.
The injured, how are they doing?
One more victim got out of the hospital today, so that's good news. So one person is left in the hospital. She's a 19-year-old who was in the class, obviously, and I believe that her boyfriend was one who was killed in the shooting. So she's still in the hospital, but seeing that one of them got out today was very good news.
And I know you've been airing special coverage of the weekend memorials and the return to campus today. As you talk to people in the town, at the university, what's the sense you get about the spirit of the place? Is it looking forward to events, or is it still really concerned about what happened a week and a half ago?
Well, there's still the concern, but a lot of it is just looking forward. In fact, forward together, forward is part of the motto on campus, and that's on signs all over town. And people are really expressing just how their amazement at how much support has come from really from all over the world and from other universities, especially Virginia Tech. The contact that they've made with the students and the faculty and staff at NIU has been pretty amazing. And in talking with President Peters this morning, I was asking him who he's heard from who surprised him, and he said some of his grade school friends, people he hasn't heard from since he was just out of grade school, have found him and gotten in touch. And then he said he got a card from the students at the Amish school in Pennsylvania where they had a shooting, and that one really, really touched him.
I, as it happened, had the opportunity to meet Susan Stevens and some of the contributors and staff at WNIJ in Northern Illinois this past weekend, and speaking to them, some of them, about what they heard on your station, and they were very complimentary about your work, and I'm sure the special coverage today has been remarkable.
Well, that's very kind. Thank you.
And thanks very much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Susan Stevens, news director at WNIJ, with us today from their studios in DeKalb, Illinois. Next, let's bring in Robert Schneider. He teaches theater at Northern Illinois University. He was in the building next door when the shooting started. He wrote about his experiences in an op-ed in the Chicago Tribune last week and joins us now from a studio at Yale University in New Haven. Good of you to be with us today.
Good afternoon.
And obviously, you're not back on campus.
No, I'm going back this evening.
And you've said in your op-ed, you wonder if you'll ever teach again at Cole Hall. Indeed, you had taught in that very same facility.
For 6 years.
And what about it makes you think that you'll not be able to go do that again?
It was just an intuition, but it seems to be playing out. President Peters has announced that they may never use it as a classroom again.
You were in the building next door, and at first, how did you find out, first of all?
Well, I was teaching a theater history class, and one of my colleagues came in through the rear door of the classroom and just said, I'm very sorry, but we'll have to stop because there's been a shooting. And, of course, she's an actress, so you don't know, you know, is this some elaborate put-on or not? But when she didn't smile or wink and no one laughed, I broke off the debate we were having about an 18th-century playwright, and we were just kind of all sitting there.
At one point, you write, from one of the glass doors, exclamation point, leading outside, I saw a policeman wearing a flak jacket carrying an assault rifle pacing slowly northward. At that point, you had no way of knowing what was going on.
No. We went into my office and turned on the radio. In fact, we turned on NPR, and you were talking about President Bush's trip to Africa. It was only from a local AM station that we managed to get an update on what was happening in town.
And that's, again, one of the difficulties. As news breaks that quickly, it's often very difficult to find out accurate information. And I know that some of the information you heard, even though they were doing some of the broadcasts, for example, the descriptions of that room, a room you knew very well, were wrong.
Yes.
There was a description of a man jumping up on the stage. You know that there was, for example, a door in the back of the room that leads out on stage. A man jumping out from behind a screen. The screen is painted on the back wall. As you're listening to this, though, it must seem incredibly surreal.
It's very, very odd. I fly a lot, so I'm in airports a lot, and CNN is always on. And on CNN, you get used to seeing a kind of generic picture of mayhem with police tape and ambulances and helicopters. And all of that evening was kind of folded onto this picture of the room where I teach, where I work. It's very, very odd.
Did you sense, and by the way, we're talking with Robert Schneider, an associate professor of theater and dance at Northern Illinois University. If there are teachers in the audience listening who want to ask him about this experience, what they could do or what their experiences are in certain similar circumstances, 800-989-8255, and email is talk@npr.org. But as you're going through this experience, part of your job, I guess, is to provide students a safe place to get an education. Did you feel powerless in this context?
Well, yes. In fact, the university has done a lot to prepare for something like this. There was a threat on campus in December, and since then we've all received these black and red flip books which are hanging on every wall in every classroom. I have one in my office with every possible eventuality there. And I've talked to my colleagues. None of us actually looked at that on Thursday, although the head of my school looked on it on Friday and found that it had two perfectly sensible but contradictory pieces of advice. If there's a shooting going on, you should run out of the building, run to your car, and drive away as far as you can. And the other piece is that you should lock the doors, lock yourselves in, and don't let anyone in. Which makes sense. It depends on where the shooting is. But we couldn't tell where the shooting was.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. This is Gary. Gary with us from Memphis in Tennessee.
Yes, Neil, this is a great show.
Thank you.
I was wondering if your panelists could comment that when you're counseling students, can you emphasize the sheer randomness of an act like this, how it's just a statistical anomaly? And I realize that they're caught up in the emotion of the situation, but statistically, it's such a freak thing that happens that it's just impossible to predict it.
I had a student who emailed me saying that she wasn't certain if she could come back to NIU. I think she'd gotten a lot of pressure from her parents. And it's a difficult email to answer because I can't guarantee that she'll be safe. But then I can't guarantee she'll be safe wherever she is. So you're absolutely right. I don't think any of us are absolutely safe anywhere. It's like a meteor.
A meteor, yeah.
It's just unfortunate that it's happening more frequently, though. That is unfortunate.
Gary, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Our guest is Robert Schneider, an associate professor of theater and dance at Northern Illinois. He was teaching a course in the building next door when gunfire erupted at Northern Illinois University a week and a half ago. 5 people were killed. Then the gunman killed himself. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Another thing that happens in these situations is that the, first responders descend upon the scene very quickly, followed by a second echelon of the news media. What was that experience like?
Well, I teach theater, so I kind of look at things in terms of a show being put on. And although it sounds gruesome, you can even think of this shooting as a show being put on. An actor who prepares and prepares his props and enters on stage and performs his number and then ends it. I think that he chose a building that he knew and that he knew had a stage and had an audience facing the stage is one way of understanding his act. And Lord knows nobody really understands his act. Coming out of the building, there were all these helicopters in the air, providing, I suppose, camera platforms for the news programs. And now I felt as if I were an actor and being observed in a very, very high-budget show. I mean, every minute these helicopters were probably costing more than our production budget for the year for all of our plays and our ballet. And that, too, was very odd.
Let's get another caller on the line. Jan's with us. Jan calling from Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm a NIU alumni. I graduated in 93, and my husband and I actually met and fell in love in a Cole Hall classroom.
That's great.
And I just wanted to give my love and support to NIU, and I know they're stronger than this. So
thanks.
I know they're going to get through this.
Thanks very much, Jan.
Thank you.
Let's see if we can go now to, this is Bob. Bob with us from Modesto in California.
Yes. First of all, just my heart goes out to the whole school there and the faculty and the kids. But I'm wondering about the whole idea of closing down buildings based on the shootings and how far we go with that in terms of the associated trauma with buildings, things like that, and empowering. It seems almost to empower shooters to close down campus. I'm just wondering about the thinking behind that.
What do you think, Robert Schneider?
Well, that's an interesting thought, because on CNN that night, people were saying that we should put metal detectors at the doors of all of our classrooms, we should make our universities safe. And I was wondering, how have we gotten to a position where we have to make our universities safer than our pool halls or our bowling alleys? Because my students, when they're not in class, they're in pool halls and bowling alleys. It's all DeKalb has to offer. And anyone who wanted to harm them could harm them just as well there. So I think there is a danger in making the school a special place that way. And it perhaps does attract the wrong sort of attention.
Thanks for the call, Bob.
You bet.
Bye-bye. Let's talk to Stephanie. Stephanie's calling us from Chicago.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I really appreciated the way the news media handled this shooting as opposed to Virginia Tech, some of the things like that. My cousin was on campus when it happened, and I think that the tendency in this case is a lot of times to what was the shooter thinking and how could he have done this? And partially I think the reason that more wasn't done with the shooter is because of the fact that they didn't have a whole lot of information on them. But I also really think that the news media, in particular in Chicago, NPR in general, has done a really good job of really not glorifying what happened, because I think that that allows other campuses to become unsafe.
Did you think that at Virginia Tech that shooter there was glorified?
I think in some ways, you know, it was a chance to, oh, what was he thinking? Can we get inside his head? You know, was he playing violent things or was he, you know, was he have a history of torture? Or, you know what I mean? That kind mm-hmm. of mentality. And it didn't seem like this time that was allowed to happen. And I really thought that, be that through police efforts or whatever, that was really fantastic.
I wonder what your thoughts on that are, Robert Schneider.
We had a wonderful psychiatrist who came up from the University of Arkansas last week, Dr. Perry, who spoke to us about Chu, the shooter at Virginia Tech, and said he'd become sort of a poster boy for misunderstood, neglected, interiorized, troubled young men with violent tendencies. But he assured us that he had three or four people that were under observation at his medical center who were just as interiorized, just as troubled, just as isolated, and who showed no inclination to shoot anyone. It's very easy after the fact to try and connect the dots in some kind of rational way. It's normal that we would want to do that, but in this case, it seems perfectly, perfectly mysterious.
Stephanie, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And Professor Schneider, thank you for your time today, and good luck when you get back to the campus in DeKalb tomorrow.
Thank you, Neil.
Robert Schneider, an associate professor of theater and dance at Northern Illinois University. His op-ed ran in Thursday's Chicago Tribune. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.